This is the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show with Sean Steyers and Evan Sharpley.
The Notre Dame Football Postgame Show is brought to you by Coca-Cola, St. Joseph Health System, Sirius XM, Papa John's, South Bend Orthopedics, Bell Tire, West Bend Insurance, Bowling Vision Center, Burger King, Chili's, Papa Vino's, and ABC 57 News. Notre Dame Football is brought to you by Budweiser, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lechleitner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge, Inrug Co. Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, Key Bank, Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier, Mimo's Pizza, Flags International, Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill, Pella Windows and Doors, Wings Etc., the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, Imperial Furniture, and Auto Value Auto Parts.
Cohn takes a snap, gonna pass, looking to the end zone, fires, Michael Mayer at the goal line, across the pylon, touchdown Notre Dame! 6 yards on the quick out to the right of Jack Cohn. Put it right on Michael Mayer, and he snuck in just before he was going to hit that front pylon. 6-0 Fighting Irish, 4:53 left in the first quarter.
Paul Burmeister with the call earlier tonight on the Notre Dame Radio Network. Notre Dame's first touchdown of the night. Michael Mayer breaks a long touchdown drought. He scores for the first time since the Toledo game in week two of the 2021 season. Along with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. Yeah, I know it's been a while, right? With Evan Sharpley, Sean Steyers. And it's, yeah, I knew it had kind of been a while, but when I actually, it was either yesterday or today, I was looking and it's like, are you kidding? It's been since Toledo?
Yeah.
So it was good to see him finally get to the end zone once again today.
Yeah, it was. Well, and he made a couple other great catches. I mean, I think the one where he went over the linebacker's back was one of the more impressive catches I've seen this entire season from a Irish pass catcher, so that was pretty impressive. But yeah, we saw great balance on the offense today, and it was nice to see Michael Mayer get back at it too.
I thought so as well. Notre Dame wins 28-3 to improve their record to 9-1. So if you had the over for the season, congratulations to you. After Notre Dame picks up the victory today, and you know, it was not the game that I thought it would be. Just because there was no Brennan Armstrong. I don't know what that would have looked like. I was looking forward to seeing him as good as he is, but no Brennan Armstrong for Virginia. And the Fighting Irish hold the Cavaliers to a season-low 3 points as a result. They were averaging just a tenth of a point under 39 for the season. So good defensive effort, solid offensive effort. Just, I guess, some of your thoughts overall on what we saw tonight.
I mean, anytime you can go back-to-back weeks and not give up touchdowns, you know, that's good obviously
point.
Huge, right?
Yep.
And there were quite a few guys on both sides of the football, but, you know, a couple of starters on defense where guys were having to play, you know, Bo Bauer being one of them, stepping up and having really a career game and playing very well. So, you know, 8 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, and I'm with you, Sean. I was hoping to see Brennan Armstrong. And I think what they're probably doing is they've still got a conference game coming up where they can potentially win their side of that conference and wanting to keep him healthy. So I understand it, but it certainly was a much different Virginia offense without him on the football field. And granted, I mean, this Notre Dame defense, they played very well, so I don't know if it necessarily would have mattered. But I think in some of those key situations, and especially in the second half where Virginia was finally moving the football a little bit, they just were not able to, in some of those areas on the football field, take advantage and obviously score touchdowns, which is the difference between a guy who's leading the nation as far as total yards per game and what they're doing and a true freshman quarterback. There's going to be some differences. So, but it also was great to see this Irish offense once again control the line of scrimmage, protect Jack Cohn. You know, I know he didn't throw for a ton of yards, but he was really efficient when he was throwing it. He rushed for 250, 0 sacks, 7 of 11 on third down. I mean, it was just a bore you to death type of victory where, and there were some missed opportunities in the second half for this offense where the score probably could have been, you know, a 42-3 type of football game. But it never really was in doubt. You could see that from the very beginning.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to. You're right. It was not in doubt as Virginia punted 1, 2, 3, 4 times. They missed a field goal, threw a couple of interceptions, turned it over on downs once, and actually kicked a field goal once, obviously, as well. But Notre Dame wins 28-3 again to improve to 9-1. On the season. We're just getting started with the Notre Dame football post-game show brought to you in part by KeyBank. Open a KeySmart checking account today. KeyBank opens doors. For more information, visit key.com. KeyBank member FDIC. If you have any questions or comments, you can shoot them to us post-game at WSBTradio.com. We will take a timeout. We will jump deeper into first half analysis when we return with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. Sean Stiers, you're listening to the official Notre Dame football postgame show on Sunday 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
On third down and two, Cone from the shotgun takes the snap, gives to Diggs off the left side across the 50, 45, 40, far sideline, jumps over a tackler, and is finally pushed out of bounds inside the 30. At the 27-yard line, he leapt over 6'1 cornerback Anthony Johnson for a gain of 26.
Logan Diggs with a highlight run for Notre Dame in the 28-3 victory over Virginia. That hurdle a la Najee Harris in the college football playoff semifinal last year. And, you know, I saw some Notre Dame people, you know, they were a little miffed on Twitter that they weren't showing the Logan Diggs highlight more since they showed that Najee Harris over and over and over last year. But I mean that was still quite a run, Evan. It was incredible to see Logan Diggs go up and do that.
Yeah, and I know we talked about it last week too. I mean, I think this running back room's in good hands regardless of what Kyren Williams does, but you got two guys, you know, as explosive as Kyren Williams and Logan Diggs, and you saw that on that play. I mean, it's pretty cool to see. I mean, you know, I think we saw a couple of plays today offensively from this Irish offense. Like I said, Michael Mayer, and then obviously Logan Diggs there as well, where tremendous athleticism, and obviously, you know, getting guys in space and allowing them to make plays.
And the other running back, that guy, Kyren Williams, I mean, it's just like, it's old hat at this point. Every time he goes out there, he's breaking tackles left and right. On his touchdown run, he broke three tackles on his way to the end zone. And you know, it's like, how do you even go anywhere with it anymore? Yeah. It's just,
well, I think, and I may be wrong, I think I saw the stat, you know, he rushed for 70 yards and 67 of them were after contact. So
wow.
It's like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, because I think it was that, I'm pretty sure it was the touchdown run where didn't he start to his left and then he goes back to his right. So he should have been stopped in the backfield to begin with. And he ends up, you know, breaking three more tackles. Down the road.
I think that's what's so special about it is it's not necessarily the contact 5 yards down the field. It's been on plays where you almost look away and you think the play's over because
right. He
should be tackled for a loss or for no gain at all, and he ends up turning it into, you know, a 5 yard, 8 yard, 12 yard, or 20 yard then touchdown run. That's what I've seen that's just been so special is it's not your normal yards after contact.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Ramon Henderson, guy who, you know, a cornerback, they just turned him into a safety with no Kyle Hamilton back there, and he got a lot of playing time tonight. He had a tackle for loss in the first. I thought it was a sack because it was the quarterback, but they officially called it a tackle for loss. Maybe Notre Dame goes back and adjusts it. I don't know. But then he also becomes the ninth different Notre Dame player to get an interception this season. That was a pretty nice looking interception that he came down with as well.
I mean, Sean, I think what we're seeing now, right, is this defense now, we're on the back end of the season. So I think overall the players have a pretty good comfort level. So regardless of who's in there, right, they have the talent. These guys are getting in and being put in positions to go out there and make plays. And he's another great example of that on the defensive side. You know, obviously Bo Bauer being another one too, where these guys are stepping up and going out there and performing at a high level. So, you know, you can't overstate how well this defense has been playing. And I think they continue to play great. And, you know, you lose an All-American and you have a couple of guys come in and replace them. And certainly last week was different with Navy, it being a different game plan at the safety position. But now more, you know, I guess a team that throws quite a bit more. I mean, I guess you're looking at the schedule the next 2 weeks. I mean, would you even play Kyle Hamilton at this point?
I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, I know Brian Kelly said he's not medically cleared to play. He, you know, that he'll play when he is cleared. But, I mean, this was supposed to have been, of the three games, or, you know, really the last four games, this was supposed to have been the biggest challenge because of Virginia's offense. But I completely agree. What's the benefit of Kyle Hamilton playing against either Georgia Tech or Stanford at this point? I don't think there is any.
Yeah, not much, and especially too if guys are being put in that situation where they're coming in and they're playing, you know, at a level that's helping this defense continue to limit offenses. And you're right. I mean, if I was going to circle one that I would have want Kyle Hamilton to play in these last three games, it'd be this game. Now, granted, you don't have Brennan Armstrong, so it's certainly a different look, but it's still an uncertainty when you have guys where you've had some injuries at the safety position, and that was a red flag, you know, especially going to this game. But, you know, I think what certainly helped too was Notre Dame's defensive line and really just the front seven as a whole being able to control the line of scrimmage. You know, I don't think at any point there was a lot of rhythm. We maybe saw it a little bit from Jay Woolfork coming out of halftime. Those were some of the longer pass plays that they had the whole day, but he certainly wasn't comfortable. I mean, anytime you sack a quarterback eight times and you have eight tackles for loss and then some quarterback hurries and some interceptions too, right? The quarterback's he's not happy standing there, and he certainly doesn't feel comfortable, that was for sure.
One of the few negatives – from my perspective, I mean, you know, we'll talk about the Cone interception in a little bit when we get into the second half, but they're up at halftime and what, it's 21 to nothing at halftime. They get the ball back with about a minute and a half. Were you surprised that they didn't try a little bit harder, especially with two timeouts to go down and get a few points, especially considering Virginia was going to get the ball to start the second half?
A little bit, and to be quite honest, I mean, the first half kind of had more of a Navy feel than the actual Navy game did.
Yeah, that's true.
Where, you know, where each team's only had, you know,
good
four possessions.
Yeah.
And, you know, Notre Dame turning it over on downs after a long drive, and then going touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. On the opposite side, you've got Virginia coming out, punt, punt, downs, then throwing a pick. So
yeah.
it was a strange first half, but, you know, I'm with you. You know, I was a little curious on why maybe they didn't at least – try, especially with the success that they had on their final three drives there of the first half and scoring touchdowns. But I think a lot of it then likely had to do with our defense is playing so well, we don't feel like Virginia is going to be able to outscore us. You know, let's go into half, let's regroup, and let's come back out. But it was a little bit strange.
Brian Kelly, by the way, did say on the Notre Dame Radio Network at the right after the game, 12 Notre Dame players had the flu this week. One of them was Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa, who did not play in today's game. Apparently he was at the game, but he did not play today. Drew White did not play either. Bo Bauer got the start, and Bo had a really good game out there starting, getting the start today against Virginia. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will jump into some more analysis. We'll look a little bit closer at the second half and some good things happening in the second half. Not quite as much offense in the second half, but still some good things, especially from the defense that we saw from the Fighting Irish tonight. Along with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley, I'm Sean Stiers. We'll hear from Brian Kelly, his post-game press conference coming up in a little bit. We're going to take a timeout right now And again, more analysis from the second half coming up after we take this break. This is the official Notre Dame football post.
Cone waits for the snap. There it is. Drops back against the blitz. Throws to the left side. Into the end zone to Kevin Austin. Did he hang on? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Notre Dame. The perfectly placed fade route from Cone to Austin, 7 yards deep in the far side of the end zone for a 15-yard touchdown.
The only touchdown that Notre Dame would score in the second half, that touchdown pass to Kevin Austin. Notre Dame wins 28-3 to improve to 9-1 on the season. And, Evan, that was another really nice catch made by Kevin Austin on that touchdown grab.
Yeah, it was a great drive, too. I mean, and obviously capped off by a good throw with pressure in Cone's face, a little pressure, and then a great catch there. And we're seeing Kevin Austin. I think he's, you know, he's kind of coming into his own. And really, the entire receiving crew, as small as they are right now, granted they've lost some guys at this point, but they've been, you know, they've obviously been pretty consistent. I mean, you look at their targets and then completion percentage. Today was pretty smooth as far as, you know, there weren't dropped passes. You know, Cone only had 5 incompletions, Buckner 1. So I think this receiving crew, you know, we know what to expect. It was great to see Braden Lindsay affect the game too today. And then certainly Kyron Williams is a pass catcher too. You know, he continues to be very solid.
Absolutely. And the Cone interception on the deep ball. Cone has not made a lot of just really bad decisions this year, but that was one of them.
I'm going to sound a little biased on this. I know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're the quarterback, so that's why
looked really bad right off the first look at it, and seeing the replay. Now, I'm not saying that's where he should have thrown the football. You know, Kevin Austin coming out of it was kind of a post corner type of or flag route. He didn't have great position, and it looked like he then, because he didn't have great position, stopped his route or started to slow down, which at that point, just given where the defensive back was playing, he was in great coverage. And that I think was part of the reason, but because then Austin slowed down, it certainly gave, you know, the defensive back a much better opportunity, to make a play on the football. So it was both. I don't want to point my finger specifically at one person. I think part of the route was shut down just because there was good coverage. But because that was the case, it made it look worse than it was. I'd need to go back and see exactly what the other combination of that route was on the other side, if there was another look that was maybe there. Yeah. I think his mindset was, right, you've got a guy in one-on-one coverage and Kevin Austin and trying to give him a shot. It just ended up not being a great fit there based on the route being shut down and good coverage. So
yeah, that's fair. I get you. What'd you think of Virginia's decision to kick the field goal? They're down 28-0. They kick a field goal. You know, they're still down by 4 scores, even by kicking the field goal, just to avoid the shutout. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, I mean, earlier it was curious in the first half when they were going to fake or then tried to get whatever they were doing.
Right.
I don't think anybody knows exactly.
Yeah, they run on 3rd or 4th and 12. Yeah, that quarterback run on 4th and 12.
I don't think any of us watching the game knew exactly what was going on there. So, yeah, it was interesting at that point. And, you know, I mean, you look at their drives coming out of the half, right? A 9-play, 49-yard drive, and then a missed field goal. And then later again when they actually did kick the field goal in the fourth quarter, you know, they just couldn't, for whatever reason, whether it was inexperience at the quarterback position, you know, they couldn't put the football in the end zone.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a head football coach in college. Yeah. I mean, does it mean that much to get shut out? I don't know. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I'd probably be going for it at that point because, you know, touchdowns are going to at least put you back in a position to, you know, make it manageable, I guess. I mean, what's 28-3 versus 28-0 at this point? I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that.
Exactly. Something interesting they were talking about during the broadcast, Ira Armstead, who of course went to South Bend Adams, a guy that you worked with a little bit a few years back, but he is one of many Virginia quarterbacks, and you can see Virginia kind of has a type that they're looking at. They like the athletic, mobile quarterbacks, and they were talking during the broadcast that Bronco Mendenhall likes his quarterbacks to play other positions, and like they lined Armstead up at wide receiver for a couple of plays, and Thompson is a guy, he actually played, he was a backup quarterback at Mississippi State, transferred in, and they've had him primarily playing wide receiver. He's run some wildcat this year. What do you think of Mendenhall's kind of philosophy there, you know, getting those guys on the field, not necessarily even at quarterback, but at other positions out there, because he likes them playing other positions.
I had a tough time, because I heard that too. I mean, I had a tough time kind of wrapping my brain around that. I mean, certainly he wouldn't have recruited me. We could say that. I don't know what other position I'd play. Although right. I'm about 240 now, so maybe I'd be playing some linebacker. I don't know. I mean, it is. It's very curious. And you're right. I mean, they do. And I have worked with Ira. He's extremely athletic. But I'm still part of that thought process of, if you're a quarterback, I mean, you're playing quarterback, right? Unless you're really going to be making a switch. And I mean, an example of that would be a guy like Avery Davis, right? Where they switched him from quarterback to receiver to defensive back. And, you know, he finally then was settling in prior to the injury at and really affecting football games and part of a big part of the game plan at wide receiver. But, you don't see it often where there's someone who's cross training at quarterback and having success at another position. You know, it's very different. So, I don't really know what to make of it. You know, that's kind of been their MO. I think it would hurt the development at the quarterback position for sure.
Yeah, I would think so too.
And would probably be, if you're that person, you're probably left scratching your head quite a bit on, well, what am I doing this week?
One other Notre Dame thing that I wanted to hit. We saw some nice play design a lot of different times, like on the Lindsay touchdown pass. You know, they go with the play action to Diggs to the right side, and then they come back and find him short. We saw the Lindsay reverse later on, the Styles run that they had. What did you think of some of the creativity that we saw tonight?
Well, I'm not saying that Tommy Rees doesn't listen to our show. You know, I don't. He might. I'm just saying that I know we've been talking a lot about how to help the offensive line, and this is, if we rewind, what, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago when the offensive line was struggling and controlling the line of scrimmage. And a lot of it had to do with movement. And I think we've seen a steady dose of that consistently over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think that's helped the offensive line. I think it's helped the run game, and certainly then being able to play action pass off of that, whether it's quicks or not, really is an extension of the run game, where Notre Dame has been able to capitalize quite a bit more here over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers, the official Notre Dame football postgame show after Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over Virginia tonight to improve their record to 9-1 for the season. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we will get into some of these statistics from tonight's game. Brian Kelly, the Fighting Irish head coach, we will hear his postgame press conference coming up very shortly as well, after the 28-3 victory on the road in Charlottesville. Let's take this time out. We'll be back with more of the official Notre Dame football postgame show after this. We continue with the Notre Dame football postgame show after Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over Virginia on the road in Charlottesville with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers. Your game statistics are presented by Coca-Cola. We're going to take a look at some right now. For starters, Jack Cohn, I think you called it, Evan, not necessarily a dazzling night by any means, but very efficient. 15 of 20 for 132 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception. That 15 of 20 is 75%. And Tyler Buchner, 3 for 4 for 42 yards passing. So you can go either direction you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I mean, they know what they're going to get at the quarterback position, right? They've established that identity. They have a much clearer picture than they did early on in the season when there were some struggles. And outside of that interception, I mean, it was a clean game. Yeah, 15 of 20, 132 yards, right? Three touchdowns. Spread the football around. You know, you've got Michael Mayer with seven catches, Kevin Austin with a few, Braden Lindsey, Kyron Williams. You know, he's spreading the wealth around, and you know, I think he's doing a good job of getting the offense into the right plays, making the right calls. That's all something that we knew would likely grow as the season went on, given this is his first year in this offense. So that's been something really good to see. You know, we can call him a game manager if we want to. That's probably okay. And when he's at his best, he's in rhythm and he's completing a high percentage of his passes. And that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, absolutely right. And Michael Mayer for Notre Dame ended up with seven catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. Again, he finds the end zone for the first time since he caught two against Toledo back on September 11th. But his seven catches for 84 yards is the most that he's had since he had eight grabs for 93 yards against Cincinnati earlier this season. So really good to see him get rolling again.
Two touchdowns away from tying the single season record for a tight end. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. He needs just two more to get to six, which is the school record at Notre Dame. I would have thought it would have been more than that.
I would have thought it would have been more than that, too. I'm over here like, wait a minute. So
I know.
Six, what?
I know. Man. A little surprised by that. Kevin Austin, three catches for 38 yards and a touchdown. Braden Lindsey had three for 23. Kyron Williams, two catches for 15 yards. Mitchell Evans getting in on the act tonight. Freshman tight end, one catch for 8 yards. Lorenzo Styles, one for four. Chris Tyree, one reception for 2 yards. Kyron Williams on the ground, 14 carries, 70 yards and a touchdown. Now, again, I'll be honest. I thought Kyron Williams was going to have a monster game tonight, but that was really basing it on Brennan Armstrong being in the game and, you know, sort of changing the flow of the game, you know, where they were going to need Kyron Williams to do more tonight. But, you know, if Kyron Williams can only carry the ball 14 times and he goes for 70 yards, he averages 5 per carry, you save some wear on him. I mean, it was still a really good and efficient night for Kyron Williams tonight.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if Brennan Armstrong's in there and it's one of those, you know, you have to go punch for punch, you know, you might have seen a little bit more, but still being able to rush the football for, you know, 250 yards, it was, what, 6.6 yards a rush, 9.7 a pass. I mean, that's what you want out of an offense. But it did. It did have a different feel, especially in that first half with minimal drives. You know, where a week ago we were talking about 800 punts that occurred in the first half. You know, that wasn't the case tonight. So good balance on the offensive side. I thought the offensive line did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage. And, right, that's why they had a lot of success up front.
Yep. Got a few questions from Robert coming in. And I'll go ahead and throw one of them out right now, since we're kind of on the Kyron Williams topic. Lorenzo Styles was just moved to the slot this week because of the injury to Avery Davis. And Robert says, you know, not sure that that he's comfortable in third down situations right now. Should they play Kyron Williams in the slot on third and Chris Tyree at running back on third down? What do you think about that?
I'd be hard pressed to move Kyron out of the backfield if it's a passing down, especially just because he's so good in protection. You know, I get having someone who's sure-handed there in the slot like that, and that may be something that this staff looks at. But Kyron Williams he's just so good in protection. I'd rather have him there. And then, you know, trickling out late if Cone's able to get to him as far as the progression is concerned, versus having him in the slot at this point. You know, that may change in the next couple of weeks, but I'd rather have him there in protection.
That was kind of my initial thought, because Tyree is better this year, you know, just in terms of pass protection. But at the same time, I think that Kyron, you know, it's tough taking Kyron Williams out of there. And that's kind of the balance, no matter, you know, what Brian Kelly was saying this week. Well, we've got these guys and you know, we can play them in some different situations. And, oh, I'm getting really excited right now because my alma mater, Kansas, for the first time ever, just won in Austin, Texas. After Texas scored the first touchdown and kicked the extra point in overtime after they had tied the game with 22 seconds left on a touchdown, Kansas decided to go for two rather than kick to tie.
Yeah.
And they just converted the two-point conversion, so they're going to beat Texas in Austin. So I'm pretty happy awesome. Right now.
I love it.
I had just flipped over. When I was flipping around, I had just flipped over to see Texas, of course, tie the game. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. So I'm pretty excited to see them. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
All right. So when I saw, because I was looking down, and I'm like, oh, are you kidding? They're going to go for two right here. And the quarterback got chased out of the pocket. He was it was kind of like not necessarily, you know, that completely like that pass that Tyler Buchner threw, but he was rolling to his right and then ended up throwing a strike to the tight end to get the 2-point try. I tell you what, let's take a timeout. When we come back,
yeah,
we will hear.
Yeah, you should, right?
I mean, yeah, I know. I got to regroup now. I don't know what to do. I'm all adrenaline right now. So we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we will hear from Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly. We've got some more listener questions that we'll get to in the segment after that as well. And if you have a question for us, you can email them to postgame@wsbtradio.com. We appreciate the questions from Robert, and we will, like I said, we'll hit some more here in a little bit after we take a timeout and hear Brian Kelly's postgame press conference. We'll do that next. But Irish fans, if you had 20/20 vision without glasses or contacts, what's the first thing you'd want to see clearly? LASIK at Bowling Vision Center could make amazing vision a reality for you. Take the first step at bowlinglasik.com or call today for your free consultation. Bowling Vision Center, amazing happens here. This is the official Notre Dame football postgame show on Sunday 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Notre Dame football postgame show continues on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT, as well as Sunny 101.5 with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. Sean Stiers, 28-3, Notre Dame over Virginia tonight. The Fighting Irish improved to 9-1 with two games to go. They host Georgia Tech next week and then off to Stanford Thanksgiving weekend to close out the regular season. Brian Kelly spoke with the media in Charlottesville just a little bit ago, and I'm told that the media are not mic'd up like they typically are at home, so you might have a little bit of difficulty hearing some of the questions, but you will be able to hear Brian Kelly's answers. His press conference is presented by Gatorade, and let's have a listen right now.
All right, guys are excited about the victory. You know, we had a lot of things that we had to overcome. Injuries, illness, you know, playing on the road at night is not easy. And, you know, another team that had the week off. But our guys have been terrific. They had a mindset that with all that, that this was the challenge that they wanted. They took this and took it as a challenge, and that they were going to have, and they thought right about it. They didn't think about it in the sense of, wow, why all this? They took it as, you know what? We're going to play our best football. We're going to play together. And they did some midnight. So really proud of them. To get a victory late in the season and to have some individuals step up and play their best football was even more impressive. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Ryan, what do you think of the way Cole Bauer played tonight, stepping up?
Yeah, Bo did some really good things. I mean, he's extremely active. You know, he gets our checks. We had a number of checks when they went into the Wildcat. So we had to get those communicated. But he's extremely active. He's around the football and does a really nice job for us.
Michael Mayer got the end zone and had a good night all around.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you see from him?
He's a freak.
Has the impacted him through the last few games, or is it just
mustache? He was targeted. We targeted him. Now, you know, they doubled him, you know, on a couple of throws. We went to Kevin on the touchdown. That was a third down, and they ran in and out coverage on him, doubled him. So our read was to go to Kevin. Kevin comes up with a great play. But, yeah, he was targeted. We were going to try to get him the ball. Obviously, he makes that great catch over, you know, takes it off the guy's helmet. So that's just the kind of player he is. Braden Lindsay got a lot of recognition from us. He was gritty tonight. I mean, that was a gritty performance from him. As a senior, you know, the reverse, he finished that run strong. The touchdown catch, you know, launching into the end zone. Even the PI, fighting back for the football. Those are gritty catches. And I use that word in a sense of, you know, you can easily give up on those plays. But he got himself dirty tonight. And that goes a long way to winning football. And he was a heavy contributor for us. He got the game ball. Riley Mills was on every kickoff. As you saw, we had him on the kickoff because we wanted to break their double team. And he certainly did that. He caused the penalty, a personal foul. And then, you know, we had the smart idea of moving him to the defensive end today and getting three sacks. So, you know, Myron being out, you know, really shorthanded us. So we kicked him out to the end position, and he responds with three sacks. So, yeah, I don't know if that's good for us or not. Yeah, I think he's probably earned his right to stay there. Yeah.
Coach,
yeah, well, he's patient and he's physical, right? And he sees the whole – I think one of them – you know, you probably wouldn't even look at it as his best run because you're going to think about jumping over and hurdling, which, you know, obviously catches your eye. But it was his last run where they sent the corner from the boundary and spiked the defense to the field. He sets the run and he cuts it back for a 7-yard gain. It was a veteran run, and he'd be a really good back. I mean, I can't wait to get him in the weight room with Coach Bayless. You know, he's already 215 pounds right now, strong, and he's going to be a special player.
Where do you see that?
Yeah, so it's not been 1 week, right? You know, we just don't say, poof, you know, you're ready to go. It's been loading work on him and getting more confidence in his ability to play the position. He's fast. He's long. Plays the ball really well in the air, as we saw tonight. He's an X receiver. It's really been about really confidence and recognition, and he's been showing that, and it's been coming, and it showed itself in a big way tonight.
Defensively, did you have a sense Armstrong was not going to go? How do you feel like you guys prepared and executed that?
So we felt like if they could play him, they would. But we had to prepare for Wildcat because that was going to be option number two. We knew the backup quarterback on offense through the backup quarterback, but we had to prepare for Wildcat. So once we were able to check into the defenses that we needed, you saw they got out of it. They didn't even try to get back into it because we had a plan for it. It's when you don't have a very good plan for it, they'll stay in it, and we had a good plan for it.
Here at 9-1,
yeah.
2 games ago, do you feel like you have a body of work to be a playoff contender?
I mean, we're better than we were in September and October. So this football team is getting better each and every week. We've played young players that are now much more mature and playing better. And we're ascending as a football team. So, you know, anytime you're trying to put a resume together, it's about how you play later in the year. And so, you know, the eye test is this football team is playing better defensively, offensively, and you know, we're sitting here 9-1. We've turned over virtually an entire roster and playing pretty good football.
When did you know Drew and Myron would be able to do
that? Not until game time. They tried. We gave out flu tests, you know, which prompted the COVID test as well. We had COVID, but you know, when you do a flu test, you have to do COVID testing, and so it was a difficult week for us. So we had a number of guys in our life, and I will tell you, there were some guys in there not feeling, you know, 100% that played tonight as well. They were just Drew had 103 temperature yesterday, got it down. Myron was 101 in pregame, and we were just not going to, you know, put him in that kind of situation. Nana was sick most of the week. He answered the bell. Ramon was the bell. I could go on and on. We had, like I said, during the week, we had upwards of 13 players in and out of practice during the weekend. They hung together. They kept fighting. Rob Hunt, Dr. Leisler, did an incredible job of getting this football team back on the field. Great. Thank you.
And that is it. Brian Kelly after Notre Dame's victory over Virginia. So a lot of guys with the flu, including both Drew White and Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa, who did not play tonight. And he said Drew White with a fever of 103 yesterday and Tagovailoa-Mosa with a fever of 101 before the game tonight. So they opted not to play him and worked out well for Riley Mills, as it turned out, with Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa not playing this evening. We'll take another timeout. When we come back, Evan Sharpley and I will take another look at tonight's game and how things shook out for the Fighting Irish. Again, your game stats are presented by Coca-Cola. Or not game stats. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong line. That was your Brian Kelly press conference, of course. It's presented by Gatorade. We're back with more after this. You're listening to the official Notre Dame football post-game show on Sunday 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Notre Dame football postgame show continues after Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over the Virginia Cavaliers to improve to 9-1 on the season with former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyers. More stats for you presented by Coca-Cola and a look at the total yards tonight. Notre Dame ended up with 423. They kind of fell off the pace a little bit in the second half. Virginia ends up with 278, but again, this is a Virginia team, came into the night number one in the nation in total offense with well over 500 yards per game of total offense. Now, again, they were without their quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, who accounts for about 425 of that per game, but the Irish rushed for 249 yards to Virginia's 82 this evening, and that to me just really big numbers when you look at where this team is trending right now, Evan. They continue, you know, to pick up the yards on the ground. You know, situationally, I think that there's still some improvement there, you know, like the 4th-and-1 when they went for it on their first drive and they get stopped on the quarterback sneak, but 250 yards almost on the ground, nothing to sneeze at by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should point out, you know, they're controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. You know, anytime you can be that consistent for four quarters, you know, average almost 7 yards a carry rushing the football, and limit a very good offense. Again, as we've stated several times, without their stud QB is still impressive, right? I thought that they had a good game plan, and we heard Brian Kelly talk about he really liked their plan, Notre Dame's plan against a Wildcat, and why they didn't continue with it. And that it was really about tackles for loss and pressuring the quarterback. And that's what they were able to do. I mean, you'll make, regardless of who's out there. Now, I would have been really curious to see how this game would have gone with a healthy Brennan Armstrong.
Yeah.
Because I still thought Notre Dame did have a really good plan as far as pressuring the quarterback. But you don't know, you know, were there things that Virginia wasn't calling? Were there calls that maybe weren't made or alerts or audibles that weren't made based on not having your guy out there? But regardless of that, you know, that's, he wasn't out there playing, and Notre Dame's game plan to go out there, they executed at a high level. And again, pressures, tackles for loss, controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, you're going to put yourself into a position to win the football game most times, rather than not.
Yep, absolutely. Notre Dame 7 of 11 on third down tonight. Virginia was just 5 for 14. 8 tackles for loss for the Irish and 7 sacks as well. One must have got turned because I know on the TV broadcast they said 8 sacks.
I thought I saw
8
as well.
Point.
Yeah, same. Yeah. One must have got returned, yep.
Yeah, I think that is what must have happened. Bo Bauer, though, again, starting for Drew White, 9 tackles. Bauer ends up leading the team tonight. 1.5 sacks, 1.5 tackles for loss, a pass breakup. 4 of his tackles were solo. He just had a really good game tonight.
He did. He was affecting, you know, different aspects. I know he knocked down a pass as well. You know, had a pass breakup there in coverage in the second half. So he did a great job of stepping up. You know, something that we did learn today, right? You can play with a torn PCL, just not 102 fever.
That's right. That's exactly right. Cam Hart, 5 tackles tonight, 3 of them solo in a pass breakup. That pass breakup that he had, they tried that double pass, and he was not fooled at all, and you know, just in good position to make a play.
Yeah, you know teams are desperate when they, I mean, and Virginia did this a couple of times, you know, some different trick plays. But yeah, Cam Hart did a great job kind of breaking down, you know, set his feet and knocking that pass down where I'm not sure what was behind it, if there was somebody open or not. I don't think I had a chance to see the replay on that, but just all in all was a really good play.
Xavier Watts with 5 tackles, Justin Adamolola with 5 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and 1.5 tackles for loss as well. Just a dominant performance by the defensive line. Riley Mills, I was looking for him with 4 tackles, 2 sacks, and 2 tackles for loss. And Brian Kelly was saying after Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa was ruled out, they, you know, decided to move Riley Mills to defensive end for tonight, and it sounds like we might be seeing more of Riley Mills defensive end going forward.
Yeah, so, probably. I mean, yeah, I would not. You know, up front played well, but, you know, the back end too. I mean, they, you know, 5 pass breakups, right? 2 interceptions. So it was a combination of both. You're able to create pressure with your front 4 and then obviously the linebacker position too. And you play good coverage, you know, you're going to have opportunities to create some turnovers. And it was nice to see that from the back end, you know, with some guys who are, you know, hadn't played, being able to step up like that in a couple of key positions.
Now it's, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes because, you know, again, the level of competition you go against without Brennan Armstrong, Virginia was dramatically different tonight. But, you know, as the TV guys kept referring to, they've got playmakers. And, you know, Wicks came into the night. He was averaging 23 yards per catch, which was 4th in the nation coming into tonight. But he ended up with just 2 catches for 32 yards. It's one of the worst games he's had all season. He did end up going over 1,000 yards with that 32 yards that he has, and I believe that makes him the 5th player ever in Virginia history to go over 1,000 yards. So that kind of tells you where they are. Yeah. Would you like to see Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame continuing to bring more pressure, like rush, you know, 4 and 5 guys more consistently, you know, because they are, you know, we saw the results of it tonight, as opposed to, you know, we've seen more, you know, drop 8 in coverage and rush 3 and that kind of stuff. Would you like to see them just consistently, you know, bringing more pressure up front and getting the kind of havoc that they had tonight?
Well, you know, I think we saw that early on in the year, and it was putting the defensive backs and that back end in some positions where they weren't comfortable with. And we saw some of those explosive plays. You know, I think that this is a different defense now. They know when to pick and choose to do that. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more. And that's in large part because I think overall this defensive backfield has gotten a lot better. I think that they're covering much better at this point too.
Sure.
And I think it's going to be a weekly basis on who they're playing, how they can get hurt. You know, my thought is today, based on how often they did dial that up, right, and had success, and that was part of it, is once they had success, well, we're going to continue to go back to that well until they stop us, and an inexperienced quarterback. I don't know if Notre Dame would have dialed up as many pressures today if Brennan Armstrong had played. That may have been a conversation that they had, but, you know, if you have a very talented quarterback like that and you do play cover zero and bring pressure and you can't pick it up, you know, maybe he's able to dial in on that. There were a number of times tonight where Wolfork, he threw it to no one.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was either a complete misread or he was not on the same page with his wide receiver. So, you know, I think, again, part of it was just taking advantage of this defense, taking advantage of inexperience at the quarterback position. But I believe that we'll continue to see this type of game plan as long as there's confidence in that back end right now to cover and make plays.
He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers, Notre Dame Football Postgame Show, and your postgame stats presented by Coca-Cola. And also, don't forget, we don't just drive trucks because they're dependable workhorses that let us tackle icy roads all winter and tow a boat in the summer. We also drive them because they're fun. Try out the Cooper Discover Rugged Trek. You can find out more about the Rugged Trek from Cooper at CooperTire.com. We will hit our opponent scoreboard and college football playoff scoreboard after we take this time out. 28-3, Notre Dame over Virginia tonight. This is the official Notre Dame football postgame show on Sunday 101.5 and Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
And Matt Embry in the WSBT studios as we continue with the official Notre Dame football postgame show following Notre Dame's 28-3 victory over the Virginia Cavaliers in Charlottesville. This is now the Under Armour opponent scoreboard, an extended version. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Of course, Under Armour, the official clothing and uniform providers for Notre Dame football and Notre Dame athletics. First of all, Florida State and Navy both off this week. First on the list, Toledo. On Tuesday, they defeated Bowling Green 49-17. They take University this upcoming Tuesday. Purdue beat Iowa earlier this season. The following week, were humbled by Wisconsin. Now it's round two. Last week, they defeated Michigan State. This week, they are humiliated by fourth-ranked Ohio State 59-31 as the Buckeyes, for now, securing their spot in the top four, looking ahead to the new poll for the college football playoff. Of course, that will come up on Tuesday night. Speaking of Wisconsin, 35-7 victory for the Badgers today against the Northwestern Wildcats. On Friday, fifth-ranked Cincinnati gets by USF 45-28. Virginia Tech, an easy win today over Duke 48-17. USC was supposed to play California Berkeley today. However, though, due to a high number of positive tests in terms of COVID-19, that game was postponed. It will be played on December the 4th. On Thursday, North Carolina lost a tough one to Pittsburgh, 30-23 in overtime. Georgia Tech, no match for Boston College as Phil Jurkovec and company defeated the Yellow Jackets 41-30. And Oregon State defeated Stanford 35-14. So the Cardinal suffer another loss. Of course, those will be the last two opponents, regular season, Georgia Tech and Stanford, for the Fighting Irish. Now the second half, this involves the college football playoff. Top-ranked Georgia, no problems with Tennessee. Well, they were behind early, 10-7. However, though, things changed dramatically. 41-17, the Bulldogs defeat the Volunteers today. Second-ranked Alabama, easy game week for them against New Mexico State, 59-3. They get the victory. Oregon, 14-7 as they are about 30 seconds away from halftime. However, Washington State has it first and goal at the Oregon 1 yard line. So it's 14-7 now, but it could be 14-14 entering the half between third-ranked Oregon and Washington State. Sixth-ranked Michigan escape with a victory against Penn State today, 21-17. Seventh-ranked MSU, last week they lost to Purdue. This week, no problems with the Maryland Terrapins, 40-21. They get the victory. Baylor, who was had their chances badly compromised as they lost to TCU last week, did simply the same thing to eighth-ranked Oklahoma today, 27-14, 13th-ranked Baylor. Back likely into the top 12 of the rankings coming up on Tuesday night, but again, with two losses, probably not a threat for the playoff in the top four. OK State, though, and this could be an interesting thing to look at. 10th ranked right behind Notre Dame, but they hammered TCU, the same TCU that defeated Oklahoma last week, 63-17. It'll be interesting to see what the committee elects to do with both Notre Dame and Oklahoma State coming up on Tuesday. Texas A&M's chances to make the top four have been eliminated completely. They lost to 15th-ranked Ole Miss tonight, 29-19. And Wake Forest keeps their limited hopes alive, the 12th-ranked Demon Deacons defeating 16th-ranked NC State, 45-42. And that wraps up this week's Under Armour Opponent Scoreboards. We send it back to Syracuse, where Sean Stiers is standing by.
All right, thank you very much, Matt, along with Evan Sharpley, Sean Stiers, the Notre Dame football postgame show. Evan, we heard some scores, and of course, Oklahoma lost today. They were number 8, right in front of number 9, Notre Dame. And Robert wants us to kind of go into college football playoff hopes for Notre Dame. What chance do you give them right now to make the playoff this year with two games remaining in the regular season?
Not great. Just, I mean, they lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Mean, that's, you know, they have a snowball's chance, I would assume. But, I mean, you look at the Big Ten and the SEC, right, you're going to need some help, certainly, to get in. But, you know, that loss to Cincinnati, I think, in my mind, it's tough because if they lose, if Cincinnati loses – you know, they have one loss. You would think that they would likely go head-to-head. Granted, that'd be a pretty bad loss for Cincinnati. So, you know, again, and we heard Brian Kelly talk about it, you know, when he was in his postgame. Their resume has improved. You know, they have built a better resume. They do look like a much different football team than they did prior, you know, earlier in the year. So they are getting better and they are peaking. So if that is part of the discussion that the committee is looking at as far as an eye test, they are passing that. You know, it's just they have to be dominant in the next two games, and they're likely going to need a little bit of help too.
Yeah, and Matt was talking about that Oregon-Washington State game, and Washington State did score. So that's tied as they go into the locker room at halftime. And I guess, like, just when you look at it purely from who's in front of them right now and wins and losses, Oklahoma should, I would think, fall behind Notre Dame.
Right.
So, okay,
yeah.
So Notre Dame moves up a spot to number 8. You've still got Michigan State and Michigan in front of them. You know, those two teams are most likely going to each suffer their second loss here in the next couple of weeks because they both have to play Ohio State. Michigan State plays Ohio State next week. Michigan plays them the week after that. So that potentially moves Notre Dame up two more spots to number 6. I just don't see them getting much farther than that, though, at this point. Unless, like, if Oregon ends up losing to Washington State tonight,
right?
Maybe they're sitting there at 5th. But, you know, again, here's the interesting thing, because I saw some people floating this week when you know, you talk about head-to-heads and the fact that the committee put Michigan ahead of Michigan State, even though Michigan State had the head-to-head just 2 weeks ago. And I saw somebody, you know, kind of half joking, but also maybe kind of being half serious. Is the committee sort of floating the idea that maybe here in a couple weeks they could move Notre Dame ahead of Cincinnati, because, you know, what if Notre Dame would move all the way up to number, you know, five with Cincinnati sitting in that number four spot, you know, kind of the natural progression. What if the committee decides, hey, Notre Dame is playing better than Cincinnati right now, and all of a sudden the Irish find themselves in the number four spot?
That'd be crazy. I can tell you what.
There would be a lot of outrage, but
yeah, there would.
But again, you know, they just did it. Even though Michigan State had the direct head-to-head, they put them ahead of Michigan. So I don't know. I still think it's very slim. They're going to have to win really impressively these next couple of weeks, which I think there's every reason to believe they will do. But they just don't have that signature win. You know, even their loss, right, even though it's a quote-unquote good loss to Cincinnati, Cincinnati's not Georgia or Ohio State, you know, a more marquee program that really, you know, could help kind of pull them up a little bit. All right, we're going to take our final timeout, and then we will, when we come back, we will name our player of the game and wrap things up on the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show. Putting the wraps on the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show after a 28-3 victory over Virginia. Our sponsors include Budweiser, distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lecklightner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge, in Rugco Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Grouse State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones Making Sense of Investing. Contact Terry Clark in South Bend or Matt Carroll in Mishawaka, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, 213 East McKinley Avenue in Mishawaka, KeyBank, visit key.com, Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier, launch your career at Lozier, apply today at lozier.com, Mimo's Pizza on Edison in Mishawaka, Monterey Mexican Grill, Pella Windows and Doors, South Bend Orthopedics, Wings Etc. Grill and Pub, the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Imperial Furniture in Dowagiac, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, and your local Auto Value Parts store or service is the difference. All right, Evan, it is player of the game time. I think our nominees for the offense, Michael Mayer, who had 7 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. Bo Bauer for the defense, 9 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 1.5 tackles for loss, and a pass breakup. Who gets our game ball tonight?
Well, as much as I'd love to give it to Mayer on the big game today, I'm going to go on the defensive side. You know, only gave up 82 rushing yards the entire game. Let's go with Bo Bauer. You know, he led a defense today, came in and stepped up, opened the game up and shut down Virginia, 2-3 and outs, and then downs and an interception. And then to close out the game, obviously the field goal that we saw, and then a punt and interception. So pretty dominating performance. The defensive line did a great job, but I think Bauer really, you know, he really stood out and played well.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. Bo Bauer with a big one in there for Drew White tonight, and having a career game for Mr. Bo Bauer. All right, that's going to do it for us, for our studio engineers, Jim Irizarry and Matt Embry, and for Evan Sharpley. Hard to believe, Evan, sitting here at 9-1, 2 games to go, one more win, and it'll be 5 consecutive seasons of double-digit victories for Brian Kelly and Notre Dame.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. It absolutely is. 28-3, Notre Dame defeats Virginia to improve to 9-1, back at Notre Dame Stadium for Senior Day next week against Georgia Tech. We're going to wrap things up right now. Thanks for listening to the Notre Dame Football Postgame Show.
The Notre Dame Football Postgame Show with Sean Stiers and Evan Sharpley.
The Notre Dame Football Postgame Show has been brought to you by Coca-Cola, St. Joseph Health System, Sirius XM, Papa John's, South Bend Orthopedics, Bell Tire, West Bend Insurance, Bowling Vision Center, Burger King, Chili's, Papa Vino's, and ABC 57 News. Notre Dame football has also been brought to you by Budweiser, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Sherwood Tire, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, Lecklightner Door, Martin Supermarkets, Pet Refuge, In Rug Co. Studio and Gift Shop, Tim Growl State Farm Insurance, Bill's Collision, Edward Jones, Fisher's Barbecue and Catering, Key Bank, Legacy Heating and Air, Lozier, Mimo's Pizza, Flags International, Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill, Pella Windows and Doors, Wings Etc., the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, OSMC, Salsa's Mexican Grill, Zolman's Best One Tire and Auto Care, Imperial Furniture, and Auto Value Auto Parts.